Good afternoon, and happy Mother's Day to you all. And for those watching from another place at another time, today's Mother's Day, and we're right in the middle of COVID-19. What a strange time. And I said to my wife on the way, I said, the message has nothing to do with Mother's Day or COVID-19, but I can tell you this for certain. It has a lot to do with me, George, because I feel this passage. I need this passage, and I can say that I'm the best bad example of this passage probably in the room. Even with a small crowd today, I'm just with a large crowd maybe too. But if you have a Bible, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and it's not too late. You can pause this and go and copy the outline or get it off your email as Mark sent it out to us. And today, we're in the book of Corinthians, and the context of this passage is all four of the first chapters talk about divisions in the church. It's not just the first chapter or the second chapter, the third, fourth. Four chapters are dedicated to this question of divisions. And for me, the way I frame it is I'm not a divisive kind of guy. I'm not that argumentative, I don't think. But I discovered something about myself in chapter 3, verse 3, that it says this. It says this about Paul, says this about me. So if you see me pointing, I'm preaching at me today, right? We understand we should preach the gospel to ourselves every day, and I'm preaching to me today. Paul says to me, George, you are still carnal. Why am I carnal? He says, because where there is envy, now I have a problem with envy. I've told you that before. I have a problem with envy. It's a besetting sin of mine. Whenever there is envy, and envy is you want something else, you want something more. I want more. I'm envious. Where there's envy and strife and divisions, you are carnal or fleshly or earthly or natural, and you're behaving like mere people. This isn't good Christian thinking or behavior. So the reason this passage and this message is important to me is because I've identified that I am an envious person. And envy is at the thing behind our divisions. When we throw rocks sometimes at the other guy, it's not because we hate him, it's because we want more of what he has. It's as basic as the girl that wanted to be a cheerleader, couldn't become a cheerleader, so she spends her time throwing stones at the cheerleaders. And so she's dividing the girls about the cheerleading squad, but really what she's saying is, I wish I was a cheerleader. And I'm that girl in many ways. And if you look at your outline, I want you to read the text with me. It's printed for you on your outline, and I'll read it from my Bible. It's chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, Paul says to the Corinthians, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Why? Verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus the Messiah and him crucified. For I was with you in weakness. I was with you in fear. I was with you in much trembling. And my speech, Paul says, and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? So that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, I've discovered that I have envy in lots of ways, but just very practically, I live in Portland, Oregon. I grew up surfing. I wish I could surf at least once a week. And because I can't, I'm envious of those who can. And I think about it, and I dream about it, and I wish I could surf, and I'm envious of those who can. Another thing is, I love you musicians. Thank you for playing, and you've heard me say this a dozen times. I envy musicians. I wish I was a skilled musician, and I'm not. And sometimes I say to God, why do I have to spend my time working with my hands so much? Because I'd really rather do music than clean the floor or whatever it is I have to do. So I'm envious of musicians. And I spend a fair amount of time in the Word, and I do ministry, but I'm not content. I want more of the Word. I want to be a better student. I want to be a better scholar. I want to be all those things. I want more. What is this? It's discontent. And that discontent can lead me to envy the other guy who has more. I had a Christian guy I know and admire say recently, he's a pastor of a big, famous, successful church. He said, go big or go home. I was like, brah, no. That's a little heresy, not a big heresy. That's a little heresy. But what he's saying is, check me out. I'm big, right? And I'm going to go bigger all the time. And I'm like, the reason I hate you saying that is because I want a little bit of your gold dust. I want a little bit of your success. I want some of your numbers. And so I envy people who have the time to do what they want and the things that are important to them. So I have a problem with envy. And Paul comes to the Corinthians who had it bad, who were like me, but maybe even a little worse. They had the best of everything. Corinth was a sophisticated, wealthy, intelligent, educated, highly developed city. And they were proud of their ethnic heritage. They were proud of their culture. They were proud of their linguistics. They were proud of their philosophy. They were proud of their government. They were proud of their Roman strength and their economy. And that sin of wanting more and better and bigger came into the church and came into their relationships, and it was dividing them, and they were fighting over who was the most eloquent, who was the most intellectual. So here's the preview of the passage. Paul said, when I came with humble methods, and we must learn the humble method of Jesus and of his apostles. We must learn to share Jesus simply. Secondly, Paul said, when I came to you Corinthians, you thought you were really cool, but I came with a very humble message. And the humble message that Paul shared with the Corinthians was that there was the person of Jesus and the Messiah and his sacrifice. And he says, that's it. That was my message. It's the person of Jesus and the work of Jesus. So like Paul, we must learn to share about Messiah and about his death and what it means. Thirdly, he says this, not only do we have humble methods, not only do we have a humble message, but thirdly, we are ourselves, in ourselves, we are humble messengers. And I don't think the Corinthians wanted to hear that. I don't think we want to hear that. We want to hear that we're special. We want to hear that we're unique like everyone else. But we're not. We're humble. And so when we do ministry to ourselves or in our family or in whatever context God puts us, we need to learn to share Christ modestly. We have humble methods, we have a humble message, and we are humble messengers. And on the back of your outline, you can see there, but that's us, that's our condition. And the problem is for us, we tend to push ourselves up. We push ourselves up and then we compare ourselves among ourselves. And Paul says, you got it all backwards. Because the reality is you're not that great, you're not that special, but you have this huge, wonderful, glorious Messiah. And what you're doing by putting yourself up as you're pushing him down. And instead, you should flip the equation and you should lift him up. You should boast in him. You should put your glory and your pride in him and who he is and what he has done. And when you do that, you will become more modest. So let's start at the beginning. And let me read for you the first verse again. Paul said, "Brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." We have humble methods. We always have, we always will. The Corinthians loved fancy words and wisdom. They were intellectuals. They divided on which teachers were the most eloquent and intellectual. It helps if you can say the word intellectual, you know. Who wants to be intellectual? Just learn to pronounce the word. But Paul says he did not come to Corinth with slick speech or human wisdom. Instead, Paul came with simple words. And as a result, he was perceived to be a fool by the Corinthian intellectuals. So there's an impulse in us that wants us to look better than we are. There's an impulse in us that wants us to be better than we are, to be smarter than the next guy, to be prettier than the other person, to be richer than the other fool. But Paul says, no, you have to lower yourself and come in with humility and not emphasize whatever strength or ability you have so that we share Christ simply. And the reason why is so that it's not about making us look good. It's about showing the beauty and the greatness of God. And we see this in verse 1. And in chapter 1, verse 22, this comes through as well. Chapter 1, verse 22 says, "The Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom." There's something in us that seeks something more. And Paul says, you got to keep it simple. Don't seek the signs. Don't seek the wisdom. And don't seek your own glory by putting your own gifts and talents on display. And Paul had them, and he could have done it, but he chose not to. Secondly, look at the middle box there. We have humble methods, Paul says, and we have a humble message. And we get this idea from chapter 2 and verse 2, which says, Paul saying, "I determined not to know anything among you except this, except Jesus Christ," or Jesus the Messiah, the person of Jesus, "and him crucified." So we get a couple of ideas from this. Our message is humble. Jesus came from heaven, and he didn't flout what he had, Philippians 2, right? He humbled himself, and he became a servant. He became an obedient servant. He became a bond slave and served us. And Paul says, when we come to each other and when we come to God, we come in that lower position. And there's an impulse in us that wants to make the gospel message, the Christian message, more sophisticated. And he says, don't do it. Corinth sought a stylish gospel. It's not stylish. And we communicate, this is what we communicate. We communicate that God is holy. This is our message. God is holy. And we are dead spiritually. Not very stylish, not very cool to say that. So, because God is holy and we're spiritually dead, God sent his Messiah, his son Jesus, to give us his life. It's a gift that we receive. Jesus was sacrificed and raised from the dead to make repentant believers right with God. That's our message. It's a humble message. Our message is basic. Our message was and is despised. Folk hate this message. But Jesus' person and his bloody work is our good news. This is the good news that we share. The person of Jesus, not just his history and his life and his teachings, yes, and his example, yes, 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 but also Christ and him crucified, what he came to do, what he did, and what he accomplished on our behalf is the essence of our message. Look at chapter 1 and verse 23, where he says essentially the same thing. But we, the apostles, we preach Messiah crucified. We don't just preach Jesus. We preach him crucified. And to the Jews, this is a stumbling block. They don't like a crucified Messiah. Some of the rest of us all don't like it either. To the Jews, he's a stumbling block. And to the Greeks, what do the Gentiles, the intellectual Gentiles, think of our message? You're foolish. The word is moron. You're moronic. You're an idiot. This makes no sense. But that is the message that we have. Messiah Jesus and him crucified. So when we learn from the apostle, and we learn from the Corinthians, and I learn in my weakness and in my carnality, my fleshly weakness, my ignorance, my immaturity, I need to learn to share Messiah's sacrifice. We don't just talk about the person of Jesus, we talk about the sacrifice that the Messiah made for us. And it's a humble sacrifice. I read one book that said, when Paul said we preach Christ crucified, he said he was just sticking it to the Corinthians because they were Romans, and they, Romans, what's the most shameful way you can die? Crucifixion. And I've seen people beat down, and it is shameful. And Jesus experienced the most shameful death imagined by men. And Paul says, I don't just preach that Jesus died. I preach that he died by crucifixion. And that is a humble, shameful, painful message. And that's our message. And then thirdly, we don't just have humble methods. We don't just have a humble message and a humble Jesus. We ourselves are humble messengers. Look at chapter 2 and verse 3 in your outline or in your text. Paul says, I was with you, Corinthians, in weakness. I was weak. I was with you in fear. I was afraid. And it was worse than that. I was with you in much trembling. Not a little bit, not a little, you know, shake. He said, I my knees were knocking. We come in weakness. We are simple people. We don't like to think that we are, but we are simple people. And we have simple methods. We have a simple and unpopular message and Messiah. And we also have a very sinful, and I'm including myself again, I have a sinful impulse to boast, to glory, and to take pride in my humble little self. Why do I want to be a good musician? Just so I can enjoy the music? Yes, but I want you to think I'm cool. Right? Why do I want to surf more? Do I want to surf more because I enjoy it? Yes. But I also want to surf more so that you'll think, oh, he's a good surfer. I don't want you to see me fall. I want you to see me spit out the tube, right? I mean, I want you to think, you know, he's the man out there. Same way spiritually. Why do we compete and cause divisions? Because we want others to look at us and say, now that guy, he's got it going on. He's got it together. So we have this, like the Corinthians, it's a human problem. We have this impulse to think we're better than we are. And Paul says, you're humble. You messengers are humble. And when I was studying this, I had this thought in my mind. I thought, yeah, but the apostles, of all the people that couldn't preach this, it'd be them, because spiritually they were the most together. they had the best results. I mean, you know, Peter, Stephen, they preach, and 3,000 gets saved, you know. And we don't have quite 3,000 even in this room today, right? Much less the 3,000 people getting saved. So what's my problem? And then as I was thinking this thought, I was reminded in the same section in chapter 4, beginning in verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, unless you get to thinking we apostles are cool, and if I could just be like the apostles. Let me tell you, I'm preaching into the mirror right here. I'm telling myself, you don't want to be like the apostles. They were more humble. Believe me, they were more humble messengers than you were. For I think that God has displayed us apostles last. You want to be last? I don't want to be last. As men condemned to death. I don't want to be condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and men. We are fools for Messiah's sake. I don't want to be thought of as a fool. But you, Corinthians, you are wise in Christ, and we are weak. You are strong. Well, I want to be strong. Paul says, you're not strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. I don't want to be dishonored. But if I choose this simple method of just talking to people about Jesus, the simple gospel of just sharing his person and the work on their behalf of their sin, and share with them, I'm a humble person. Believe it or not, you're a humble person. You know what will happen? You will be dishonored. You will not be honored for that. You will be dishonored. And to the present hour, we both go hungry and thirst, and we are poorly clothed, and we are beaten, and we are homeless. I don't want any of that. And then here's one. I really resonate with this. And we labor working with our own hands. Because I say, God, if I didn't have to work so hard, then I'd have time to do all these other things that I enjoy. Good things, mind you, good things. And the apostles say, we had to labor with our own hands. And we were reviled. But even when we were reviled, we blessed. And even when we were persecuted, we endured. Even when we were defamed, we endured. And even though we were made the filth of the world, we were called the offscourging of all things. He says, but I don't share this to shame you, but I share this with you as my beloved children to warn you. So I was very encouraged. You think, well, man, this is a hard message. You know, you're beating me down and making me humble and all. I was really encouraged as I studied the first chapter. Even though Paul knows he's going to go in and give him this big discourse on their envy and their jealousy and their carnality and their divisions and their sex problems and their legal problems and their worship wars and their bad psychology and their unloving relationships, how they haven't even learned to define the gospel and they're unsure about their eschatology, just a few problems. He starts out by saying, you're loved, you're beloved, you're accepted, and you don't have to worry because God's done all this for you, and you're secure in him. You're going to get it. I'm going to whip you, but you're going to get the lesson, and you're going to learn this. And so we can learn to be humble as well. And we can learn that when we share Jesus, when we share the Christ, we share the Messiah, who he is and what he's done, we can do it modestly. We don't have to get fancy and big, and we don't have to get big, go big or go home. We can just be our own humble selves. Turn your outline over, and finally, this is the reason why we have to keep a modest method, modest message, and a modest messengers is because, for a little alliteration value here, we have a huge Messiah. We have to, the other scripture, he must increase and I must decrease. Why must I decrease? So that he can increase. You and I have a super Savior. The reason we keep our method simple, the reason we keep our message on Messiah's sacrifice, The reason why we keep our emphasis on our modesty is so that our faith is in Messiah and not in each other or a pastor or a church or something like that. We can all focus our hope on God because it is Him. It's about Him. It's about His huge person, His beautiful message, His Messiah, His sacrifice, His power, His wisdom. It's all of these things that we humbly share with each other. It's not about us. I think it's about me. Y'all think it's about you. It's not about us. It's about the triune God and Jesus, who is our power. He is our power. I am not powerful. He is my power. It's about His wisdom. I'm not wise. He is wise. It's about His righteousness. I am not righteous. He is righteous. It's about His sanctification and not mine. And it's about His redemption. At the end of the passage, he says, "My speech, it was not persuasive. And I did this and I kept everything humble." Why? So that the Spirit's power could be demonstrated in you. And so that your faith would not be in your wisdom or in our collective wisdom or in our selected elite's wisdom, but in the power of God. Does that make sense? So the big idea is, we want, like the Corinthians, we want to shine ourselves up and look good to the others. And God and Paul is saying in this passage, you need to tone it down, take a little breath, understand how humble you are, how small you are, and boast in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17 says, "Let him who boasts boast in the Lord." And in chapter 1 and verse 30, he says this, "But of him you are in Messiah Jesus." Who is Messiah Jesus? He became for us wisdom from God. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. Why? Verse 31, chapter 1, verse 31. Why is this message important? "So that he who boasts, let him boast. Let him who glories, let him glory in the Lord." The Corinthians were glorying and boasting in their skills, in their ability, in their knowledge, in their sophistication. And Paul says, you got it backwards. You're not supposed to be boasting in you. You're supposed to be boasting in him. Now, I want to share with you a very practical application. You may think, well, this is weird. I don't think it is. As I studied this passage and thought about it, I thought, what's Paul? Paul is concerned that we be humble in our methods and in our message and in our person. So that why? So that we can point to the beauty of God. So do we don't just sit on our hands and do nothing. We go about, we use our gifts, we use our talents, we use our money, we use our ability, we use our science, we use our literature, we use whatever it is we have, but we use it to glorify God and to communicate, talk with words about this humble Jesus and his work. So a few weeks ago, right after the shutdown began, I don't remember even where I got the idea, but I thought, I'm gonna take my phone and I'm gonna sit down in front of it and I'm gonna make a video. It's gonna be less than 5 minutes so I can share it. And I'm going to just tell my story. I'm going to share my testimony. So I did that one day. I just sat in front and I said, "Hi, my name's George. I live in Portland, Oregon. This is my story. This is how I was before I came to the Lord. This is how the Lord found me. This is how my life began to change. And I've been following the Lord now. And I invite you to follow the same Jesus." So I did it. And then I put it on Facebook. No big deal. See what happens, right? So I did one in English, and I did one in Portuguese. And it's not, you know, not the biggest results in the history of the world, but I think so far about 600 people have heard that message. That's pretty good. And of those 600 people, that my testimony was shared in 6 different countries. It's been going out all around. It's like, wow. Well, it's a humble, you say, no, this is not humble, right? This is the condensed technology of a century, right? Well, that's true, but we all have it. 10-year-old kids have one of these and know how to use them, right? And so we can make a video and say, this is who Jesus is in my life, and this is how I came, and this is what he did for me, and this is what his humble message is. And I invite you to do that. So I would encourage you to make a video and put it on Facebook. See what happens. Invite people to follow this Jesus, this humble Jesus. And you do this as his humble servant. And there's many other ways this applies, of course, but that's just one. So let's try to review and bring this all together. God has given us in this passage and revealed that we have humble methods. We don't come with fancy words. We come with humble methods. We just talk to people about Jesus. We come with humble methods, and we have a humble message that is, we know, will be despised. And thirdly, we ourselves are modest, more modest perhaps than we understand. But, and here's the big contrast. Even though that's true, we have a massively majestic and marvelous Messiah. In Jesus, we have wisdom. In Jesus, we have his righteousness given to us. In Jesus, we have been set apart for the service of God. And in Jesus, we have been saved and have redemption. And this is the one we love and the one we talk about in modesty. Let's pray to this beautiful, majestic Messiah. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you humbled yourself to come to this earth, and that you went to arrogant idiots like us and the people of Corinth who thought they were so cool. But remind us not to use humble methods, just to share simply your humble message in as much modesty as we can, and to help us to put the focus on you and your wisdom. Jesus, we worship you as the wisdom of God. We worship you as the righteousness of God. We worship you as the one who is changing us and making us fit to serve you. And we thank you for saving our souls. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.